Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many paths to transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though that might feel counterintuitive, just like the nightingale singing out in the dark. Thanks for joining me today. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and in today's show, we're taking it slow with a man who's an expert in consciously creating plant-based food. That's Samardo Sibley, Michelin-trained chef, educator, and creator of gourmet experiences. We'll also meet a woman whose health story gave birth to a well-being business. That's Chilla Gindorf, and we'll hear from Chilla later. First, let's welcome Samardo back to the show. A conscious chef who doesn't just concern himself with the food on our plates, but also our relationship with the food and how we eat it. Now, we've talked before about how we need to get back to a way of eating that will truly nourish us on every level, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually, and emotionally as well. And this time I started off by putting to Samardo that one of the elements of eating we tend to ignore is the need to take time.
Yeah, we've kind of touched on this so many times in past talks here on the show, but you know, in terms of the food and the nutrition to take us forward, you know, we are inundated and there's so many distractions out there. And when it comes to actually giving your body the right ingredients to sustain yourself and to maintain, you know, just a balanced equilibrium, taking time to eat and having the presence is one of the easiest and most simple things that you can do with your food, because there's, you know, millions of different supplements, so many protocols and approaches to diet that we can take on. But, you know, taking it back to the beginning, if we look at some of the cultures or countries where they're actually taking the time to stop, i.e. the business is closed for an hour at lunchtime or a couple of hours if it's the Mediterranean, or eating late afternoon, early evening with a group of friends or with your family where you're actually sharing time together, then food is not only your fuel to get you to the next task, but it's actually something that's pleasurable, it's enjoyable. You get to digest not only the food, but your own personal experience of the day and the friends and the people you're surrounding yourself with. You know, there's an interaction that happens when you come together over the table. And if you're eating quickly or you're eating in a rush, you're multitasking, i.e., you're trying to eat your lunch, but you're doing emails at the same time, or you're on the computer or on the phone, or something else is going on in the background, you're not actually consuming the food. You're not present with it. And the simplest thing is to take the time out, because when you're putting the petrol in the car, you're not on your phone at the same time as you're filling the tank up. You're really present with that process. And the same thing should be applied to our food. And those cultures where they live to long years, the centenarian places in the world, they stop and they share their food and they make time for it. And then everything else comes afterwards. Because if you're digesting the food really quickly and you're stressed while you're eating, well, the rest of the day is going to be stressful too.
Yeah, I think it is so overlooked today. And you know, we all talk about blue zones, right, where people do live until their hundreds and routinely, not everybody, obviously. And we hear about how we should eat fresh, organic food. And yeah, that's all great. But really, we don't put so much emphasis on taking time. And you're so right. And I must admit that this morning I was breaking my fast. Well, it was about midday. I was breaking my fast and somebody rang me. And what I should have done was say, I'll call you back. And I didn't. And I ate my food while I was talking to her. I did say, by the way, I'm going to start eating in a second because you just called me in the middle of me making something to eat. But I should have just said, no, I'll call you back.
Yeah. Back in the day, I remember there were businesses here in England that would close at lunchtimes.
I remember that. Yeah.
You know, I know that not all businesses can close for an hour or to stop. But in terms of your health and your wellness, you're going to find it much more achievable to get through the rest of the day or to complete your tasks when you've digested the food properly. Because if you haven't digested the food properly, everything else that follows on after that, you're not going to be able to digest that either. You're not going to be able to assimilate the new information or the new things that are coming at you to deal with, because your energy and your resources, your physical resources, are being used to break down what you were so stressed and hurried about before, which was swallowing your food to get to the next task. It's like, but, you know, it's a tricky one because everything is set up for convenience right now. So even in the supermarket, as an example, if you go there, you've got your ready-made meals, you've got your frozen meals, you've got your tins and your cans and your packets, and everything's all pre-prepared so that you can knock together something to eat in less than 5 minutes. And usually when something's been prepared in a hurry as well, you're going to consume it in a hurry. It's like you never hear of anybody having a leisurely lunch in a fast food restaurant.
No, not really.
You go in there, get your fix, and you're gone in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? And so a lot of the things, whether it's something like fermentation and sourdough bread, as an example, that takes days to create a really good sourdough, you know? And when it is a really good sourdough, it's not heavy on the digestion. It supports the gut health. It's got beneficial bacteria in it. And you feel light, don't feel bloated. And so wherever we can, if we can slow down the process of the preparation and the eating, it will benefit us much more greater than buying the latest superfood or supplement, which, again, we're just going to swallow and jump to the next task.
Oh, you know, that's so true. And there was a slow food movement that got some traction a while back, but I don't hear so much about that anymore. What happened to that?
I'm not too sure, but that's a good, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I went to the convention, which was in Turin. I went there with my dad, actually, over a decade ago. And there was separate, you know, you'd have one area which was artisanal dairy, and then another area which was bakery, and another area which was olive oils and wines. And it was spread out across a large expanse of the city. But that slow food movement was around the preservation of ancestral cooking techniques, certain foods that were in danger of becoming extinct. Because around that time when the slow food movement was born, a lot of these traditional methods of food preparation were being eradicated in favor of fast food production, which I bring back sourdough again. You know, if you buy a sourdough loaf in a supermarket, most often it hasn't gone through that slow fermentation. They've added flavorings to give the bread a sourness to it. And the gluten hasn't been broken down because they'll still make it in a very rapid way. But the slow movement actually was able to classify certain foods as being literally like under a preservation order.
Yeah. Area of origin kind of thing as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we can see it now. There is a reversal or a returning to very natural ways of food production. I see it quite strongly now in the natural wine movement. I don't know if you've ever come across that, but that's got huge traction at the moment. And it's, you know, small producers of wine that are growing vines organically, biodynamically, without the intervention of chemicals and additives to wine, so that they are produced naturally and they're clean, they don't contain chemicals. And in small amounts, they have health benefits.
Yeah, no, I have come across that, and before I stopped drinking alcohol altogether, some years ago, I would always seek out wine that was either organic or natural, because many people might not realize that there are a lot of things that go into just general wines, mass-produced wines that aren't entirely natural.
Yeah, absolutely. Sulfites are being, that's a particular additive that they put into wines, like many things, to increase the shelf life. Is a contributor to headaches and migraines,
Yeah.
afterwards, because it cannot be broken down in the body, or it's very difficult to break it down. And, natural wine in its cleanest form contains, particularly red wine, within the skin of the red grape, contains resveratrol, which is beneficial to the heart.
And polyphenols as well.
Polyphenols, exactly. And polyphenols can be found in olive oil. There's certain estates in Europe where you can get olive oil, which is high in polyphenols.
Yeah.
But then it kind of goes back on what you shared before, Jen, about the slow food movement.
Yeah.
These are designated protected areas of olive groves
Yeah.
where they're using traditional techniques and traditional methods of farming. So
Yeah.
you really have to get beyond supermarkets. We need to get to farms or farmers markets or small producers. And there's this, it's growing exponentially. There's
Yeah,
phenomenal amounts online.
it is growing. You're absolutely right. It's really growing, and it's something that we both talk about a lot. But it bears repeating that go for the small producers who are growing food, producing food which has got very little additives in it, if any at all, because they don't have to have stuff sticking around on a shelf for ages, or being transported from pillar to post for a long time. So they don't need to have any of those preservatives and additives in them. So that's one of our best bets if we want to eat clean food. Yeah. And in fact, I was talking to one of those producers the other day, and I said, I think I'm beginning to cook food like my grandmother did, because I'm just cooking things that take a bit longer, but I'll cook it in a pressure cooker. And sort of cuts of meat or vegetables that just would be unthinkable in the fast food culture, but they are a rich source of all different kinds of nutrients. And I just cannot believe how far we've come away from that. And I think about people in I see a lot of things online from people in the US talking about our restaurant culture, for instance, in Europe, and saying how they don't get good service. Well, actually, not being bothered every 5 seconds by a server to be asked, are we okay? In my view, is good service, because it allows us to relax, to rest, and digest, as you've said. Yeah.
And I think going back on what you were sharing about cooking like your grandmother, I think there's more appreciation if the cooking time is slower and you've had to
Yeah.
wait for it.
Mm,
That's the you
yeah.
know that's the thing. And so that's how we had a relationship with food in the past, and it's not, that still goes on in many places now. But if you can just grab it and satisfy that craving in that moment, then the appreciation's not there.
Yeah.
It will fill
Yeah.
a hole, it will satiate you, but then it's on to the next thing. And the quality of the produce, it doesn't have to be an elaborate meal with 20 different ingredients, and it's not a Michelin star meal every time you come to eat. I mean, nobody can
No.
eat like that. But just the provenance of where your food comes from. And you say you can't believe how far we've come. I think it's going to take a long time for us to get back to the way we were. But there's a huge emergence now where we're seeing, this summer in particular, I've spent a lot of the time visiting parts of England, whether it's a food outlet, whether it's a producer, whether it's a restaurant or a cafe or a farm. There is a lot of proponents out there who are really advocating for high quality ingredients and the growing of them. And what surprised me was the amount of people that are willing to spend their money and invest in that now is quite radical to where we were a few years ago. I think people are trying to move their money away from the conglomerates and support local businesses, because that's where it's at. And in terms, our health's only going to improve.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And we have a similar resurgence where I am. You're down in the southwest. I'm in Scotland on the east coast, and we ha it's beautiful to see. We have a huge resurgence. However, it can't be ignored the fact that a lot of the produce then is more expensive because it isn't being grown or produced on a grand scale. So there aren't economies of scale necessarily. However, we all eat a bit too much anyway, don't we? I mean, from where I'm sitting, we need to just eat a bit less, but eat better.
And so nutrient dense meals where you have high quality produce that is rich in minerals, vitamins, and the enzymes, we don't need to eat so much food. When you look at the UK, it has a huge obesity problem. And a lot of that obesity doesn't come from the overconsumption of food, but it's the overconsumption of poor quality food, because the stomach or the gut is sending a signal to the brain that it actually wants more food. Whereas in truth, it doesn't actually want more food. It's crying out for more zinc or iron or magnesium. It's crying out for the minerals. So the knee-jerk reaction is to take another piece of cake or bread or whatever that item is and try and satiate that craving with the bulk of food. But actually, if we're narrowing our kind of shopping list into higher quality produce, although it may cost more, we don't need to eat so much of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a great example of that, not that it was something which I bought, but foraged, and that was sea spaghetti, which is a seaweed, high in nutrients. And the first time I cooked that fresh, and I had a very simple sauce with it. It was a garlic, sort of creamed garlicky kind of a dressing. Just very simple. Absolutely delicious, I might say. And a small plateful, I didn't want anything else after that. Absolutely not. I didn't need anything because it was so nutrient dense.
And that's what we need, because seaweed in particular contains many minerals that we can't find from other food sources. And, when you buy produce in a supermarket, it's been picked, it's been transported, it's been packaged, and it could be days, if not weeks, before it actually ends up cooked and on a plate. And here at the moment, we've just started the month of September. We've got blackberries in abundance. We've got rose hips out there. The elderberries are out there. We've got nettles. There's burdock root, which is growing. Mushroom season is imminent. It's about to start any moment. So we can supplement our food choices. But let's say that food bill is going up. We can supplement for what nature is providing freely.
That's the message that I'm always banging on about. Absolutely. And just going back to that seaweed, where did I get it from? Less than a mile away. On the shore here. Now, Not everybody lives near the sea in the UK, although we're never that far away from the sea, and not every beach or area is appropriate for seaweed foraging. However, there are opportunities to do that kind of thing if we look for them.
Yeah, absolutely. If we look for them, if that's really what we want to do, because when you have that abundance that nature's providing, there are ways of working with those foods where we can preserve them over the months. You know,
Yeah.
we've got winter, autumn, winter coming ahead. So you can dry those seaweeds, you can turn them into powders. You can add them into breads and cookies and soups, and you can add them to salad dressings. And that's just seaweed. But whilst the berries are out, you could be freezing those or pureeing them, you know, turning them into compotes and freezing them. It's an opportunity for us to get back and remineralize our bodies with wild grown foods that are grown in soils, most, you know, hopefully in quite isolated places. So they're not, you know, they haven't been sprayed. There's
Yeah.
no nasty chemicals on them because you always want to be foraging away from the roadside.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's there and it's available for us, you know,
Yeah.
and it's just that reconnection to not only the land that's hopefully local to us where we're foraging the ingredients, but also what is seasonal. And, you know, I've spoken in the past briefly on macrobiotics, and part of the macrobiotic approach was to only be eating what is local to your environment. And now, in this month, we have nature giving us an abundant harvest, which can really support us and help us flourish through the autumn and winter.
Both of us, I would say, would urge anybody listening to this to go out and see what you can forage. And don't be scared. If you're worried about whether something is edible or not, Google might be your friend there. You can just check it out. And there are apps that will allow you to identify what you're looking at in terms of plants in the wild. So, you know, you can do it quite safely, but just do take care, and especially with mushrooms, take
Oh
care
yeah.
with that. I would recommend you go with somebody who knows. I was going to say knows their onions, but yeah, no,
Take an expert.
take an expert, exactly. Well, Samardo, thank you so much for this today. Now you often run courses and workshops and things like that. All those details for have you got something coming up now? All those details will be on your website, won't they?
They will. So you can find all the events and classes and trainings happening on the website, which is samardosibley.com.
So there you go. We can't emphasize it enough. Forget fast and just go slow. Take your time with food, both in the gathering ingredients together, the cooking, and the eating. There's much more to eating than just fueling that furnace. And do check out Samardo's new website, samardosibley.com, if you're interested in attending one of his events or courses in the coming months. Time for us to take a break right now, and talking of mushrooms there, we'll be back with the healing story behind a new functional mushroom brand. We're back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Now, how many well-being entrepreneurs started their journey by healing or at least improving their own health? Well, that drive to share greater wellness with the world spurred Chiller Gindorf on to create Lucid, a range of functional mushroom products. Chiller had been struggling with Graves' disease. That's an autoimmune disease that causes an overactive thyroid. Here's Chiller to tell her story.
It all started in 2020. So I used to work in fashion, and it was quite a stressful job. But sort of as I was going through that, I started to realize things happening in my body. So the first symptom that I was experiencing was that my periods became a little bit more irregular. And I realized that, before previously they were always very regular, and this was something out of sorts for me. I was becoming much more anxious than I usually was. I didn't know if this was solely linked to my work or the industry that I was in, but I really started to notice that I was getting, heart palpitations. I would wake up in the night with sweats, and yeah, I was just way more anxious than usual. And then that led me to sort of Google a little bit and try and figure out what was going on with me. And then a couple of weeks forward, I started to lose quite a lot of weight. At the time, I was cycling to work, which was about 45 minutes. So, in the beginning, I put it down to my amazing exercise routine. But as it sort of, really started progressing, I decided I had to go to the doctor. At first, they didn't know what was going on. And then once they started testing my thyroid levels, they realized that actually my thyroid had gone overactive. So that's, when everything speeds up in your body, your metabolism speeds up, your bodily functions speed up. So that was what was causing, my anxiety, my heart rate to go up. And the missed periods. And yeah, that's when they diagnosed me with Graves' disease, which is the autoimmune version of an overactive thyroid.
Wow. So what then happened after that?
Well, to be honest, after I got diagnosed, it was a crazy situation because this was all happening at the beginning of lockdown. So at the time, I was living in Southeast London, and I was diagnosed. And then we decided to move a little bit further out to Kent to just have a bit more space and to sort of relax a bit more. And during that process, actually, whilst I was switching my GPs, they somehow managed to lose my health records. So there was about a 3 month gap where my symptoms really, really got so much worse. So my resting heart rate had actually gone up to 90 beats per minute. When I would get up in the morning to get myself a coffee, just walking from my bed to the kitchen, sped up my heart to about 140 beats per minute. So I was
Wow.
just, in agony. Then got retested with the new GP, and at that point, they very urgently, quite quickly put me on beta blockers, which helped my heart rate slow down. And then they put me on carbimazole, which is the anti-thyroid medication that you get put on when your thyroid is overactive. So I started taking those. The beta blockers really helped pretty quickly to bring my heart rate down. But for the carbimazole to do its work, I had to wait for about a month or two to sort of see my hormone markers come down a little bit.
So what then took you down, shall we say, the alternative route?
Yeah, so after I was taking the medications, I, expected all my other symptoms that I was experiencing, for example, the anxiety, the fatigue that we haven't even spoken about yet, and the brain fog to sort of lift as well, because I believed that everything that was linked to Graves' disease would be resolved by taking carbimazole, which wasn't happening. And at the time, I remember going to the doctor and asking them, well, if there's something they could do to help me about my anxiety. And the only options really they gave me were taking prescription medications, and they were very quite quick to allow me to take them. There was no real, assessment around my lifestyle factors or anything like that. And I didn't really want to take any more harsh medications than I was already taking. So I started to, do my research, look into different alternative medications, and herbal supplements that I could take to help with my symptoms. And that's when I stumbled across functional mushrooms. And the beauty about functional mushrooms is that, they work with your body to give you what you need. And at that time, I started taking cordyceps for my energy levels. And it was a difficult time. I used to lay down on the sofa at around 7 p.m., be knocked out by 7:30, and sort of, sleep through till 9 o'clock and still be very, very exhausted. After starting to take cordyceps, I really started to notice a difference. About a month in, I, managed to stay up till 9 o'clock and then get up at a more reasonable hour. And I really started to feel that shift in my body. And yeah, I can definitely say it made a massive difference. I then started looking into the other mushrooms to sort of see if they could address my other symptoms. Started taking reishi for the anxiety. And reishi is very balancing for your nervous system. So I really started to feel that I became much more relaxed, and I wasn't as on edge, as I was before.
Well, I can certainly testify to the fact that if you are really lacking in energy, you're feeling a bit drained, cordyceps will do it every time. It really helps. It's one of my go-tos. Did you eventually find that you didn't need to take the other medication, or, are the two working in tandem even now?
With Graves' disease, it's not really known what brings it back once you've gone into remission. So after taking the carbamazole for about 1.5 years, I came off it, and my hormone levels stayed in range for about a year. I, throughout that time, continued taking all the medicinal mushrooms. I go for regular hormone panel testings, just to make sure everything's in range. And about a year later, after coming off the medication, things started to go into the wrong direction again, but I didn't realize it. And I always say the mushrooms, help my body deal with the symptoms. So even though my hormone levels were starting to go into the wrong direction, I was able to, sustain my energy levels. I was able to sustain a more calmer state of mind, and I, really didn't feel as much of the side effects that I felt the first way, first time around. So unfortunately, I had to go back on medication to, manage the hormone levels and my thyroid markers. But I can definitely say it never got to the stage that it got to the very first time. And I was able to manage my symptoms much better this time around. And unfortunately, if it comes back a third time, I'm not really sure what sort of the solution is going to be. But I definitely believe that my quality of life has tremendously changed by continuing to take the mushrooms, and it's really been supportive.
You saw, though, that it's improving your daily life. And you presumably, but I don't know, I'd love you to tell us, you're presumably sort of making up your own little kind of concoctions in your kitchen or somewhere. You were sort of saying, well, I'll have a bit of this and I'll have a bit of that and see whether that helps a bit more. And maybe that led to you actually making a business out of this.
Just quickly to go back to the herbal part, I do know that ashwagandha is actually quite stimulating for the thyroid. So people with Hashimoto's or an underactive thyroid can actually really benefit from taking ashwagandha. And in some cases, if you're, at a low level range of underactivity, it could be, enough to really bring it back into range. And on the flip side, for Graves or an overactive thyroid, lemon balm is actually quite calming. I just want to say I'm not a medical herbalist,
No.
but this time around, I have been incorporating quite a lot of lemon balm. So we'll see. Maybe if we come back to this radio station in a year and I've not, come back on Graves,
Well,
then maybe
yeah.
it is the lemon balm. But yeah, so I was testing around with different ways of taking the mushrooms. And in the beginning, I just bought the loose powders, and I would add them into my coffees, into my teas. But as you probably know yourself, they can be quite earthy and bitter, which is,
I like that.
very
I don't have a
common.
problem with that.
Really, really. So this is the thing. I'm quite a sweet tooth. I'm always snacking. I'm always having different type of sort of like cakes and biscuits and things like that. And I quite like making them myself, just to make sure that I know what's in them, and just to keep them good for my body.
Yeah,
And that's
good plan.
this whole shift came from when I was researching not only mushrooms and herbs that I could take to support my thyroid, but I also learned a lot about the gut health link with your thyroid, because if your immune system in your gut, and not to go too deep into it, but I did all these tests around leaky gut and things that could help me, rebuild my gut lining. And then that's when I really started to pay attention to what I was putting into my body and, the amount of sugar and the amount of processed things. So then that's when I really started to make snacks for myself. And that's when I experimented with actually adding the mushrooms in to help mask their flavors. And that's how the bar started.
And the bars Chilla is talking about there are part of the product line that she's developed. We'll hear much more about that in a moment, so stay with us. But first, it's time for another short break. Back right after these messages.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm talking with Chilla Gindorf, who took her well-being success, her own personal well-being success, with functional mushrooms and ran with it. The result is Lucid. That's the name of her business, and a range of bars and mouth sprays, some with unusual flavour combinations.
So we've got two ranges, two functions. The first function is Move. So that one's infused with lion's mane for brain function and maca, which is great for your energy levels. And it's also great for female hormones.
Yeah.
We've got that in a peanut butter and jelly flavor, which is really, really nice. That's actually currently our best seller. Freeze-dried raspberries in there. We've got goji berries in there, loads of peanuts, some pumpkin seeds. So it's really, packed with nutrients. And then we obviously have the dates in there, and we also have some prebiotic fiber from the chicory root. So, it's a real nutritious snack that you're getting there. We also have some protein in there from brown rice protein. So it's really, really nutritionally dense. Within that range, we also have a cookie dough flavor. And then in our second range, our mellow range, everything is much more relaxing and calming. So we've infused it with reishi mushroom, which, as we said earlier, is very balancing for your nervous system. And then we have ashwagandha in there, which helps to lower your cortisol levels as it works on your adrenal glands. And in that range, we've got a banana bread flavor, which is beautiful. Loads of cinnamon in there. So it's very warm and really quite decadent, actually. And then lastly, our chocolate hazelnut flavor, which is, as the name suggests, chocolate hazelnut. And we're super proud of this one because it's just won a Great Taste Award. So,
good.
That's unheard of in the snack bar category. It's very difficult. And, knowing that it has such a high level or high dosage of mushrooms and herbs in there, it's really, really a great one that we're very, very proud of.
Oh, well, that's well done. Congratulations on that. And, one of the things that I really did enjoy about them is that you have not put any kind of artificial sweetener in there. So really glad that you didn't do that and that you stuck to good old sugar. Although, there's not a great deal of it in there because you've got the natural sugars in the fruits and things like that.
Exactly. So we tried to, we haven't added any extra sugar to any of the bars. The only sugars that are in there are in the chocolate chips. So that's something that we're looking at, whether we want to switch to completely sugar-free chocolate chips or not. We have to recipe test a little bit, but right now, the bulk of the bar and the sweetness comes from the dates and the freeze-dried fruits. And I think it's absolutely enough. We don't need so much sugar in there that it's overpowering. And I think they're quite balanced.
You've got something which I haven't seen before, mouth sprays. Tell me about those.
So they're our newest product. We launched them just about 2 months ago now. And they're a very similar concept to the snack bars. We have the same functions, Move and Mellow, but they're a much more direct hit of the mushrooms and the herbs. MOVE has a combination of lion's mane and cordyceps. So for your brain function and energy levels, we have ginkgo in there, which helps with blood flow. We've got guaraná, which is a Brazilian seed that has caffeine inside. And then we have B6 and B12. So it's a really nice and energizing and uplifting function. Both sprays are alcohol free. So they're really, really nice on the palate, and they're actually quite convenient to take, even for people that, you know, don't want to have any alcohol in their diet. And the flavors are very nice. The MOVE flavor is a rosemary and blood orange. So again, very uplifting, and it goes very well with the function of, you know, being a bit more energetic. Then our mellow flavor is a lavender and rosemary, and the function is all around de-stressing and unwinding. It's actually absolutely amazing for sleep. We've got reishi mushroom in there, passion flower, lemon balm, and L-theanine. So it's really, really, really calming. I track my sleep with my Whoop, and it's just incredible to see when I take the spray how much better my recoveries are. So it's a really, really great one. And yeah, they're very exciting. We've gotten very great feedback from them. Quite a lot of people have tried, and they say they work really well for them. And it's, you know, really nice to be able to have something that's on the go and that tastes nice and that's so effective. Which one's your favorite?
I think the rosemary and lavender. Yeah, no, a lot of people won't be used to eating lavender. I like that herbal taste.
We always say to people, if it's a bit too intense, you know, you can just spritz it into a drink, or, you know, you can just take some soda water and add it in, and it actually gives it a really nice subtle flavor if you, you know, mind the strong herbal taste of them. But, you know, the flavor just comes from just the herbs being infused in the vegetable glycerin, and then the flavorings are completely natural. So the rosemary is just infused in there, and then the blood orange is from a blood orange extract, and the same for the lavender and the vanilla. So it's all completely natural.
You've also got passion flower and lemon balm.
So they're really, really calming, and they're also great for anxiety. We always tell people, if, you know, they won't knock you out, they won't put you to sleep. So if you have a meeting or something stressful going on during the day, then you can also take these, and they will really put you in a much calmer state of mind.
Yes, but then if you do want to have a decent night's sleep, they will help you actually get off to sleep, and sleep's really important.
Yeah, exactly. And also the reishi, you know, is shown to help you get more into a deeper into the more deeper stages of your sleep cycle. So it's really supportive in that way. And, you know, with the ingredients, we have the reishi, which works on a longer term basis. So, you know, it really starts to do its work after about 3-4 weeks. So it builds up in your system. But then the passion flower, lemon balm, and L-theanine, they really have a more immediate effect. So, yeah, so it's a really nice one to sort of have in your regular herbal toolkit.
And so, of course, you are taking these regularly now and feeling huge benefit from them.
Yeah, exactly. So I take my mellow every single night, without fail. I have it with me wherever I go. You know, we spoke earlier before we started the show that I just came back from Medicine Festival. So I've spent 5 days in the tent in the nature. And as many of you know, it's probably quite difficult to get a great night of sleep because, you know, it's hot and cold. But yeah, I feel like I've had great recoveries taking the spray with me. And then throughout the day, I used my MOVE spray to keep me going, and, you know, keep me on my feet for the whole day running around the festival grounds. So it's been really good.
But not too much of a stimulant, really, but just something just to support you.
Yeah, exactly. Because the guaraná, it does have some caffeine, but it's nothing near a coffee. But, you know, we do have customers that say they like to replace their afternoon coffee with the spray because it just gives them that uplift without keeping them awake, or without, you know, wiring them the way that a coffee might do.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Yeah, very, very interesting. So, well, so many people have health challenges and end up running a business because they discover something that works for them and they want everybody else to benefit from it as well. That doesn't take away from the fact that you've done it. So well done. And,
Thank you.
You know, I wish you every success with it. Loving that you've brought these natural ingredients together and that they are helping people. And long may your health carry on to be in pretty good shape as
you
take all these things. Now, before we go, if people are interested and they want to find out more about your products, where do they, and you, where do they find it?
So on our website, we have loads of information about myself and about the products and also about, you know, research into the ingredients that we use. Our website is www.lucidworld.co.uk. So you can find us there. You also have a stockist tracker so you can find stores that you can pick up our products in. And then we're also very active on our Instagram, which is lucidworld.uk, where, you know, we put out regular updates about what we're up to, where we're going, and where you can find us.
Great stuff. My thanks to Chilla Gindorf there. Do check out Lucid and see if it works for you. My favourite was the lavender and vanilla mouth spray. And on that herbal note, we're at the end of the show. As ever, let me know what you think about what we've talked about here. You can message me on Instagram at Practical Alchemist, or contact me through my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. Now, some news here. I intend to start bringing you some product reviews in coming shows, so do tune in for that. For now, though, there's just time for me to thank you all for listening. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy, more fabulous guests, and more great information on how to be naturally healthy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.